This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Always and forever begin with the praise of Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. And we send our love and greeting salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious, his pure family, his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, one of the most difficult times of the week for me is Thursday night, when I must decide what are we going to have, what are we going to do the khutbah about. And that's why I appreciate any feedback that we get from the jama'ah. That's why we love to do series, because you don't have to think about the topic. Last night I asked Ubaid, what are we talking about? And it seems everyone is still maybe talking about Ukraine. And you say, how is this relevant to me? It's interesting to talk about, it's obviously a big event in the world, but is this really relevant to me? And then I was thinking about it last night, 10:30, I still hadn't put any pen to paper. And you realize a lot of the ayat of the Quran only makes sense in a context. For example, when Allah speaks about how overnight things can change. Until we had COVID, we could never have imagined how quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the dynamics of the world. And during this crisis, this war that is going on, even though it doesn't hit so close to home, and we make dua for all the suffering people of the world, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, there are certain lessons that we can take out. And in the reactions that we find from different groups of people, and I'm sure in your WhatsApp groups around the dinner table, you've had conversations, you saw certain different opinions and views being stressed. And so maybe we can take this as a learning opportunity. Actually use this event to give some tafsir to the ayat of the Quran. For example, one of the first lessons I want us to learn. We know that we live in a time where everyone believes that their opinion counts. That they are experts. That you are entitled to give your view. Whether it's on vaccination, whether it's on cryptocurrency, whether it's on economics, you're an expert. Before last week, none of us knew even where Ukraine was on the map. And now we are giving expert analysis on the issue. And we have an opinion, and people need to listen and take note of it. Also, if you look at the news that's out there, you watch one channel, CNN, you'd find a very, very different story when you watch RT. One channel, it's an invasion. The other channel, it's liberation. So much information out there that we don't know what is true or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and this is not just for this issue. As I said, when it comes to fatawa, is something halal, haram? What should we do here? Vaccinations. Allah reminds you. You're either an expert or you are muqallid. You're either an expert in the field and then you give an opinion, or you keep quiet and you let the experts talk and you ask the expert. Whether it's fixing your car, whether it's getting medication, Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you are not an expert on the subject matter, if you're not an expert in Ukraine and Russian politics, you don't have an opinion. You should not be giving an opinion. And also, sometimes we believe that if we watch a YouTube video with someone who claims to be an expert, then I know everything. I've done my research. You know, you ask someone, well, how do you know this and this and the other? They say, oh, I've done my research. What is that research? What PhDs have you studied on the matter? So no, I watched a few YouTube videos. As I said, we live in an age where there's overflow of information, misinformation, propaganda. Allah says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ. If a fasik, a deviant person comes to you with any news, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then verify that information, أَن تُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالًا, or lest you will harm someone unknowingly. You will give an opinion based on incorrect information and it will have repercussions for someone else. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And then you'll become regretful. You tell someone, well, I watched the video, this medication, you know, if you put these onions under your armpits, it will cure cancer. MashaAllah. I watched an expert doctor tell me that. You give that fatwa to an old person who has cancer, don't go for chemo, and that person dies, you are liable for that. You are liable for that. So Allah says, if you are not an expert in the subject matter, and you get and you read information, it is your duty to verify and hold your, you'll be accountable for your opinion if you give your opinion. The safest way not to be held accountable is to remain silent. To say, look, I don't know what's happening, I'm just spectating. Alhamdulillah, Allah's not going to hold you accountable for that. Now, I take this again. How many of us are speaking on a subject matter where lives are being lost when we have no right to have an opinion? the Prophet says, it is enough for a person to be considered a liar, to simply relay whatever he hears, to simply pass on the forward as received. Forward as received. I don't know what it is, forward and received. The Prophet says, this is lying. This is a type of lying. And he says, Nabi says, how bad is it for a man to keep saying, I heard this and that, they said so and so, my opinion is this and this. If you are not a subject matter expert, then keep quiet. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentions at times like this, when things are at crises, when there's a lot of uncertainty, when lives are at stake. He says, beware of times of fitna, for a wrong word in the time of fitna is more destructive than the sword. The wrong information you put out can cause more harm than the sword. And so, the Nabi says, wisdom, to show a man has intellect, actually, to show that you are a person of maturity and wisdom, is to keep silent a lot. Not to give his opinion for every time, every discussion there is, whatever the topic is, I need to make my voice heard. I need to add my two cents. This is part of the weakness of a person. That whenever someone asks a question in the WhatsApp group, you are the first one you need to answer and give a fatwa. You are not getting any benefit, reward for that. You are only making yourself liable for a mistake. So in times of uncertainty, keep quiet. Let the experts talk. Yes, if it's a informal discussion and say, look, I don't know anything much about mechanics, I don't know much about cars, but I've read so and so about this car, that car, but I'm not the expert. Wallahi, I don't know. That is what we should do. The second thing that I have found on this issue, and alhamdulillah, we can talk about this issue because I don't think people are that emotional about it. Unlike the vaccines where people are very angry about it, or the Eid issue, people become very angry about it. But even in this issue, you find people that are pro and anti. People that say, but what did NATO do? And we are sort of on the side of Russia. And the other side, but look how Russia is doing, and they are. And we even find this in our politics here in the Western Cape. The DA is flying the Ukrainian flag, the building, and the opposition parties are saying, how can you do that? What about the Palestinian flag? And so on and so forth. What I find in issues of controversy, we have this them and us mentality. That I'm on one side and you on that side. And no matter what me or my friends do, we will stick to our team. I will never, we are so immature that we can't hold our own friends and our own families accountable because this is our group. And we can never comment positively about the opposition, even when, because they're my opponent. It's like we are enemies and friends and that's it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you believe, kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bilqist, O people of iman, be persistently standing firm for Allah in justice, and do not let your hatred of a group of people prevent you from being just. I'll give you an example. You might be pro-Iran and anti-Saudi, that's your politics. Or you might be pro-Saudi and anti-Iran, that's your politics. It should not be that because you are pro-Saudi and anti-Iran, that you turn a blind eye to what Saudi does in Yemen, the atrocities they do there. And you should not be turning a blind eye, if you're pro-Iran, to the atrocities that's being done in Syria. Now we take this, some people are saying, well, look how bad NATO and what America did in Libya and Syria, and Afghanistan. Absolutely true. They are not your friends, they're not our friends. At the same time, look what Russia did in Syria, in Afghanistan, in the Balkans, in the Muslim lands that they forced communism down the throats of people, of the Muslim lands. These people are not our friends, subhanAllah. And their agendas are not aligned to our agendas. Just because your politics sometimes overlaps, do not confuse this man is my friend and that man is my enemy. Just because your politics might not align with one person, it doesn't mean whatever he does, he's my enemy until the day of Qiyamah. This is immaturity. And so, in the context of this discussion, do not justify the atrocities of your friends because it is to get at your enemy. And do not take down a legitimate good thing that your enemy does. So look, Allah is saying in this ayah, you might have someone who's your enemy. But when they do something that is right, don't stop it or don't harm them when they do something which is right. Look at how beautiful the Sharia is. This is about the Quraysh. This is about the people who are killing the Muslims. Allah says, yes, they're your enemy. But when it comes to justice, don't be blinded by your hatred. Beyond this, subhanAllah, number three, the fact that we are actually looking for, subhanAllah, a savior. It's so sad when I look at the commentary that people are saying, well, what about Palestine? What about Syria? We are almost looking for these external powers who don't really care about us or our deen and our people. when are they going to help us, or why don't they help us? We're almost surprised that they harm our lands and harm our people. Subhanallah. It shows at the level of weakness that we are. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a time will come when the Muslim world will be so weak that the enemies will gang up like a pack, and they will take from your lands and they will kill your people indiscriminately. And you will have no value. You'll have nothing to do to respond. And the Sahaba obviously asked, will we be few in number? Is that why we'll be so weak? He said, no, you'll be so much. But you are like the foam, the scum of the sea. You know, the foam, it just gets blown wherever the tide takes it. So if NATO pushes one side, we go that side. If Russia pushes that side, we go that side. We are simply a passenger on the politics of the world stage. And you know what is really sad? If you look at the refugee situation, so a lot of people of Ukraine, I'll make it easy, they're obviously leaving their homes and they're going into Western Europe. They're going into Romania, Bulgaria, to look for Poland for safe passage. There's a refugee crisis. Now this is not new. There were refugees from Syria, from Lebanon, from North Africa, trying to get into Europe for many, many years now. All the wars that NATO has done in the Middle East, subhanAllah, right? All those wars that are being waged in the Middle East has resulted in millions of refugees. But when they get to the border of Poland or Hungary, they get stopped. And they're told, there's no place here. We don't have the money, the place. You go back, and they treat them very terribly. Now those same countries are opening the doors wide for the Ukrainians. And so we ask, what happened? Yesterday, there was no place. Our society couldn't accommodate you. How is it that 1 million Ukrainians are easily being admitted? Anyone, come. And you know, subhanAllah, they're not even shy to say it. Well, these refugees in Ukraine are not the same like you brown refugees in Africa and in the Middle East. These are civilized, educated people. You people are uncivilized, uneducated. That I wouldn't mind living next to this family, but you people, we don't want you here. And we are still begging for their assistance. We are still begging to enter their lands. We are still looking for them to save us and come in. Subhanallah, all the wars. Yes, our lands has a lot of wars. Where is it? All of it comes back to countries like Russia, countries like America, countries like Britain, invading our lands, then leaving it in ruins and putting dictators there and ensuring that there won't be peace in those lands for many, many years. Now I ask you, subhanAllah, are we not tired of being so useless and worthless as a people? Are we not tired that we are begging the people that hate us to take us in into their lands? And the Nabi says, if you want to get back to this stage, if you want to get back to where you have some honor and izzah, where you have some meaning and worth in the dunya, where you can't just be pushed around like the foam of the sea, he says, then detach yourself from the dunya and focus on the akhirah. Focus on what is important. Unite yourselves, work for that which is better. Point number four, and it links to point number three. Nations have a time span, like people. It rises and it falls. Empires rise and they fall. And the Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, a beautiful ayah, do you know when a nation's time is up? Allah says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا, that when we determine that a time for the nation to be destroyed, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرِفِيهَا, we allow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then the wealthy, the affluent, the elite, they run amok in that society. They take control of everything, and they do things for their own pleasure, their own gain. Now all these societies, NATO, Russia, wherever it is, you'll find the one top 1%, owning everything, and they push the policies and the politics for their own benefit. And the 99%, the hard-working people, you are just pawns in a game between these elite. So Allah says, you would find that the elite of the society, فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا, they will commit corruption. When you see a society like that, and our country is no different, when the elite and the powerful are above the law, when the rich have a separate law to the rest of us, then Allah says, now the time is up for this nation. They're about to be collapsed. They're about to collapse. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ, Allah says, and now the word is justified against him. فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا, and Allah says, and now the time is up for them to be destroyed. At the same token, subhanAllah, Allah is teaching you that if the elite in our society work together for good, when the wealthy, the good, successful Muslim business people, the rich ones, the CEOs and CFOs that are Muslim, and our ulama, and our academics, and our elite within our society, when they work together for good, this is how you build a nation. This is how you bring strength to a nation. Now we might say, what can we do here in South Africa on the global scale politics? We can't even talk, subhanAllah, about Russia or Ukraine. Our words mean nothing. Palestine, Syria, we can only make dua. That's all we can do. Yes, that is where we are at the moment. But if we want to get to a position where we have power, and we have not izzah for the sake of being powerful, but just powerful so that we can defend ourselves, it requires the mutrafi, it requires the elite in the society to make that step forward. And if we don't do it, we will still be like that foam on the sea. If the elite of our society, the wealthy, the powerful, the educated, the ulama, the business people, if they can't come together and sit down and work collectively, then we will not have any izzah. We will not have izzah as a society. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us here as a community, as I said many times, we've got a lot in our favor. We have a lot of opportunity. And if we don't take those opportunities, do not be surprised if war, may Allah protect, if harm comes to us and we are the refugees tomorrow, may Allah protect. Because Allah also says in this number 5, Allah says in the Quran for all of us, and prepare against your enemies whatever you are able to of power and machinery of war, by which you may strike fear in the hearts of the enemy of Allah and your enemies and those and others besides whom you don't know, but Allah knows them. Allah says, do not delude yourselves. You're living in peace. You have many enemies out there. Allah says, I know who they are. You don't know. And they are just waiting for you to be at a point of weakness so that you will become victimized by them. Jamaatul Muslimin, we are in a very weak and vulnerable state as an ummah and as a community locally. We need to know, and if we've not learned from the last few years, how quickly the world can change, then we are not paying heed to the signs. What brings izzah, as we said, is from Allah. And Allah's success does not come by the number of people that you have. Look at the seer of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were not many. And not by the wealth that you have. But the barakah comes in cooperation. The barakah comes in cooperation. When we work together, Allah says, when you unite, if you are divided, then Allah's mercy and His strength leaves you. And therefore the opposite is true. When you are united on something and you work collaboratively, the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah. Hadith, the hand of Allah, the strength of Allah is with the jama'ah. On a very small level, If we want to change the narrative, maybe not in your lifetime, maybe not in the lifetime of our kids, but if we want to be more than the scope, the foam and the scum of the sea, then begin to work for something bigger than yourself. Every single one of you, alhamdulillah, young, you have something to contribute. Get together and work on something. We need to establish ourselves as a community. We need to work for a plan. What is the plan for the Muslim Ummah here in Cape Town for the next 10, 15, 20 years? Why are we not collaborating with our mind? We have the resources, we have the people, we have very smart people, we have the ingredients, but it is not being worked together. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to do that. May Allah protect us and all the people of the world from suffering. May Allah guide us in times of fitna and keep us safe from fitna. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon those who are going through hardship and grant them ease. Ameen. Just a few quick announcements. Our Islam from Scratch lecture number 5 came out last night. It is on YouTube. Alhamdulillah, it was a fantastic, fantastic lecture. We had brothers at Bohindu and Reverts had a very, very open discussion. Never had a discussion like that. So please listen to it and share it, especially to your non-Muslim friends and family. What is this all about? Then our Road to Nikah workshop starts this Sunday. Anyone who is interested in joining, please let us know. And then a reminder that tomorrow, inshallah, from 9 o'clock or from 10 o'clock, our market here at the Hub is opening. Please support. Whatever you contribute there is for the greater good, bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.